Gway, hello, welcome back everybody to Spilling Labrador Tea Under Cedar Trees. On this episode with Kate and Mads, we are covering
the GSC,
the Global Solidarity Challenge, for those that don't understand the acronym.
Yes, it is that time of year again, fundraising for VIDEA, and we're going to talk about our challenges. This will be a fun episode, and also we're just going to try to peer pressure everybody to donate to us, but also recognizing that Teacher Mile and I are in opposite teams.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, so there's some healthy competition in the house tonight.
Maybe some murders. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how this goes.
So VIDEA has been around for 40 plus years.
Yeah, I was like, I remember there was a 40-year anniversary not long ago.
There was a 40th birthday a while ago. Yeah. Now no one keeps track.
Yeah, no. It doesn't matter until we get to 50, right?
Right? And people will be like, how long did you work there for? And a bunch of older people are like, I don't know. And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
We leave, we come back. I mean, do you ever really leave VIDEA?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this fundraising that we do every year is for unrestricted funds. $20,000 goes into our budget that just, it goes to support, you know, youth programming and all the cool stuff that we get to do as an organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's also just like a great way to build community as well, and also just get, I mean, in the essence of the literal name of it, challenge yourself to do something that you wouldn't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, for sure, we're trying to do something, everyone's trying to do something that will better themselves in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Sorry.
Oh.
Rock, paper, scissors.
1, 2, 3.
All right, you go first.
I was just going to say, this year, my challenge is to remind everybody of all the grateful things we have in our lives.
Because mm-hmm.
it's been such a tough time with the pandemic and wildfires and just a lot of things going on within our communities as Indigenous people, and you know, just to be reminded of there's still lots of beauty in the world. And so I send out these emails that are kind of silly. Like, yesterday was the first formal day of the challenge, and I said like how thankful I am for my family, you know. And it was just my birthday, and so then I went to my parents' house. My mom cooked me a very big feast to celebrate 26 years of bothering her. And just got to spend some time with my siblings, and it's just like, it's so cool watching like your siblings grow up, or like your little cousins like turn into like people and have like thoughts and feelings and opinions. You're like, holy doodle. So the first day I was thankful for my family and just all that they've taught me, and today I made a funny one about our cat Petunia, and she likes to sleep with her eyes closed but like her tongue out. She looks like an alien.
She is an alien.
And at the end of the email, I was like, well, if you made it this far, you might as well donate. Thanks. Thanks for doing that. But yeah, just, you know, to change up some of the monotony that we have mm-hmm. in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's something easy that you could do from here on out too, right?
Yeah.
Don't have to necessarily make it like public every day. But at least you can take a moment and be like, this is what I'm grateful for today.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. All right, well, my challenge is, I had waffled is your favorite.
That's my favorite.
On what I was going to do, just trying to juggle work and school and all that fun stuff. I mean, you're doing the exact same thing. But yeah, we got this cookbook a while ago. Jessica, our roommate, bought it a while ago. Finally, one of us had to do it. It's a zero waste cookbook. So it's literally like a bunch of random recipes and that are for either like cooking or baking mm-hmm. that cover how to use the scraps that you have usually at the end of like certain meals. So obviously I was like, cool, banana bread. It has to be in there. And yeah, of course it was. So that was technically day one. I kind of just like was asleep at the wheel. So day two. So today I was making banana bread, which I'll actually make tomorrow because we're on a margarine.
We're off to a great start.
Right? We're off to a great start. It's in the process, though. So, yeah. So, the goal is to try to do as much zero-waste cooking as possible. And, I mean, we always usually keep our leftovers.
Yeah.
But it's interesting to try to see what we can do with, like, the extra scraps that we usually have as well, and seeing if I can use all of them and not waste anything. Obviously, there's certain parts that, like, are inedible. But mm-hmm. thankfully for us, we actually have composting. So, we never completely put too much into the landfill. But yeah, that's gonna be an interesting challenge for me. So yeah,
I haven't fully gone through the cookbook, to be perfectly honest. But I was wondering of like, okay, you're gonna make banana bread,
mm-hmm.
and you use the bananas. What part do you use the peel for?
I haven't seen anything for that yet, but I did see. Well, these ones are way too mushy, so, like, honestly, you can't really save it.
Okay.
But I did know for some that if you peel bananas, you can use the banana inside, obviously. But, like, the peel you can turn into some sort of bacon.
What?
Yeah. I saw it on Facebook, and I thought, I want to try it sometime. It was interesting. You make, like, crispy, like, vegan bacon.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I can get down with that.
Yeah.
I did see that one, though, of, like, the apple cobbler or the... The berry cobbler of like overripe berries.
Yeah, the mixed overripe berry cobbler.
Which is great because we definitely always have
berries that we never use. Yeah, yes. 110%. And then I also like really enjoyed that they have lots for like broccoli stems and like cauliflower stems and like mm-hmm. the ends. And, jeez. Just turn on the TV. There's also some for just the ends of the beets and stuff like that and like.
Oh, yeah, you can make a radish out of it or something, or relish.
Yeah, you can make, top relish or something, like beet top relish, and I was like, what? So it's super cool, and, I mean, we were like, we had to get this when we were in the bookstore, but we already had books in our hands, and we said we had a limit.
We had to come back to it.
Right? And we said we were going to come back, and then we're like, we didn't, and then Jessica's like, I got it, and we're like, thank God somebody did.
Yeah, no, it's super cool.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to be able to share that with people and also just for us. I think it's a challenge in the house as a whole to try to limit the amount of waste that we produce.
Absolutely, because you know what? Kate doesn't eat her leftovers.
No, and now Teacher Mads can't eat gluten, so I can't even eat half the leftovers in the fridge.
Yeah. I can't tell you why I don't eat leftovers. I have no idea, but I have figured out that sometimes I need to trick myself and I have to recook my leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
And that usually works.
Yeah. But, like, that's the beauty of doing stuff like this is, like, it's a challenge in itself. Because then you're like, I have to think of creative ways to transform this from one meal into an entirely new meal that I'm going to actually want to eat.
Yeah.
So, but people who live on a budget have to do it all the time. So I feel like this is probably something we should get into.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, but I think it's interesting to see like what everyone comes up with and mm-hmm. what they see as a challenge for themselves and like being like, that was a really interesting thing that like people are able to think of. So like doing like finding rocks and shells on the beach and like painting them and then hiding them around places for people to find. And then people will like have to donate and they'll get clues onto where these things are hidden. Like that was the one of my team members is doing that.
What? Who's doing that?
I think Cassidy's doing that.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. That's so cool.
And I was like, that's so exciting. Cause it's just like a fun treasure hunt almost. Scavenger hunt. I was like, what's the other word for it? Scavenger hunt. And I was like, that's so neat. Like, that'd be so much fun to do. So I might actually look into that to see if I can participate.
That's so creative.
Right?
And then, like, we have folks doing, like, beach cleanups, mm-hmm. too, to talk about the environment. And then, oh my goodness, lots of folks doing a lot of educational things.
Yeah. I think that was the big ticket item this year was being, like, doing something to educate ourselves but also educating others. So mm-hmm. I feel like we both have elements of ours that also is educating others.
Yeah.
But some people are like that's their sole focus. I mean, and then it also just seeing like everyone's like broad talents as well.
Anyway, I have nothing. I have no talent.
I can't do anything.
No.
Yeah. But then this also, like, brings into focus of, like, how much time it takes to do things as mm-hmm. well. Because, like, there's so many things I was like, oh, I'd love to do all this. But then I'm like, I get home and I'm like, I'm so tired. I don't want to do any of that. But, and I think that's another thing to realize, that we have to find a balance in our lives in order to be able to achieve the goals that we want.
Yeah.
Not just the fundraising money goals. Hint, hint. Team Dandelion.
Wow. Wow. But
also.
Wow.
Also just
personal Team goals. Aunties, okay? Team Aunties.
Oh. Get out of here.
Brutal. We do have a couple uncles on the team, too.
Dude, so. Yeah. Claws out. Yeah.
What a plug.
Hey, what? We, you know.
I know. It gets pretty vicious.
It's game on.
It is.
It's game on.
Yeah.
I like how when it first got set up, we were on the same team. And then someone's like, no, they can't be on the same team.
Yeah, they need competition. We need to split them up. Right. Oh, okay.
Three. And I was like, we'd raise more money together.
That's okay. No. And then I was going to say, too, of like, folks listen to this podcast and you're going to donate to the Team Aunties, specifically me.
Okay.
I will try to find a way to make a haiku.
You stole my idea?
In your honor. And I'll put it on the next episode.
Yeah, people who donate to either of us in general, like, we're more than happy to give you a shout out on our next podcast. We can always think of fun ways to. I mean, at some point, we're going to have guests on our podcast as best as we possibly can in our makeshift studio now.
Absolutely. You know what? Yeah, I will. Let's
do that.
Let's do that. You donate to the GSC, you get to be a guest on our podcast. That's a hot ticket item, everybody.
Or another thing too, you're more than welcome to donate and then give us an idea of what you would like, and then we can see if we can accommodate it. Another option is that you give us an idea or a topic that you'd like to hear us discuss, and then we can do that.
Absolutely.
That's another easy one if you're, you know,
if you're shy.
Microphone shy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
What have you been up to?
Lots of stuff.
You're almost done school?
Yeah, 30 more days to graduation, everybody.
Holy.
Yeah. Freedom.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we're so getting close. There. We're so close.
Oh. What's that like?
You'll be done soon, too. Get out of here.
It feels like forever. Are you gonna tell us how your presentation went?
Yes. Yes, I will. So today my team and I did a presentation on post-colonial theory, which is different than decolonization, everybody.
Is it? Yeah. Is it really?
I feel like this is like now like my, I don't want to say like explicit, but like also like not R-rated. You know what I mean? Like, this is like my non-school version of me explaining this theory. So post-colonial theory talks about like the remnants of colonialism mm-hmm. and the systems and like those types of things, but acknowledges that it does not mean that colonialism is over entirely. Like, I don't know, it's a little vague. And also there's so many theorists to this theory that my team and I were like, good grief, who do we highlight? Because there's like 1,000 people who have a lot to say on this, which is completely valid. And then, so post-colonial theory and decolonization are two different things. Decolonization is for everybody, as we've been saying for the last little while now. But it looks different to everybody, and that's still cool and okay. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. Decolonization for Indigenous people looks mighty different than it does for non-Indigenous people.
Yes.
And that's one of the theorist highlights. And I was like, wow, I really enjoy that, because it mentions how like decolonization for the folks who have been oppressed, it's not just like the systems and things that we have to like occupy within or choose not to, but it's also to do with our territories, our minds, and our bodies. And mm-hmm. I was like, yes, that's what's up. And then then post-colonial theory is just like really interesting if you think about it in the ways of justice and like my teacher like posed that question to us of like, what does post-colonial justice look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh gosh, like that's such a huge question.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know, lady, you're the one with the PhD.
Yeah, that is a hard, like even I just like took a second and I was like, what would it look like? I mean, everyone had like our nations all had ideas of how justice looked before, but then how would we integrate that with people who don't have the same cultural background, right?
Yeah. What does a hybrid system look like? Oh, technically, Canada's supposed to be a hybrid system, legally.
Uh-huh.
And then we go, ah, yeah.
tell me something.
it's a super tough question because this all gets into like jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Right? Like, whose laws are you following? Mm-hmm. And then like, how do you administer justice? And I was like, holy. I was just trying to do my presentation.
Now we're breaking back down into tiny nations. What's happening?
No, it was very interesting, though. But it does make me sad when, like, towards the end, we got, like, questions about our presentation. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, like, mm-hmm. let's party. Like, I love decolonial educating. But it was really sad in the sense of, like, a lot of people were very interested in, like, the colonial experience of other countries instead of the Canadian context of colonialism. There's a lot of people asking questions to do with that. And I was just like, but our whole presentation is about the Canadian context of colonialism. And like, that's really important.
Yeah.
And so, and also like, I can't speak to other people's experiences
exactly.
of colonialism. You're like, I'm not from there.
I'm not from other countries. You're like, I'm from here. And this is why I was talking and speaking from here. From but here. That's cool.
Well, like, technically on my mom's side, you're right. I am part like Celtic and Viking, mm-hmm. but I don't really know because I was here.
Yeah.
And I experienced this colonialism
a lot more
than that colonialism.
Yeah.
But no, it was good, and I hope my classmates learned something or maybe think differently about some things. Like, we made them do an exercise of like, this is who I am, this is how I identify, this is how I think like decolonization is. Or, like, this is how I think I would benefit from post-colonial theory.
Mm-hmm,
I think it was interesting. People had a lot to say for the most part. But what I really enjoyed is, like, a classmate saying of, like, it's really important to question who's writing what we're reading, you know? Especially in the field of justice. It's just usually a bunch of old white guys.
Yeah, typically.
And you're like, come on.
They read Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Where's the spice? Where's the variety?
Where's the spice?
Yeah.
They were trying to find the spice, and that's why they came here. Oh, man.
Yeah. It was a tough one.
That was a tough one. It's a toughie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just relearning about theory. But not, like, fun theorists. It's just, like, Freud.
He's a classic.
Piaget. And all that jazz. So, not that I don't love some of that, but nobody wants to read about anal fixation for that long. All right? Just saying.
Can you list all five of them?
Can I list all five of them? All right. It starts with oral. Then it goes to anal. Oh, I forgot the other ones. One's, like, genital and, yeah.
I don't think one of them was genital.
Yeah. I mean, the textbook's over there. I'm not going to get it, though.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. I don't think that's exactly the term of it, but it's the basis of it.
Mm.
And it's, like, having the names of it don't necessarily associate properly with what it is, in some sense, because that one, I don't know why we're going on to this topic, but that one had to do more with, like, the identification with your sex and your gender and stuff.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my school.
But as we know, gender is a spectrum.
Yeah, and Freud...
Freud doesn't know that.
Freud had enough cocaine to, like, kill a small horse, all right? So, like, it's fine. Just... Yeah. But no, that's... Those are some hard questions that you've had to deal with in class. And especially with, like, people that, like, don't share the same background, I guess, is where I'm going with that. Like, not, like, because there's only, what, a couple of you that are actually Indigenous or
Yeah, there's three of us, people who self-identify, but really only myself that has connection to culture and teachings and all that kind of privileged things. Mm-hmm. No, it's difficult, cause not like the background, but just like the worldview.
Yeah.
Right? Because also we had conversations in our ethics class of like, oh goodness, what was it? Prison systems and like to do with like Indigenous offenders.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And still Indigenous offenders have to meet colonial standards to be able to access Indigenous programming.
Yeah.
And I was just like, does anybody think that makes sense?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I never thought about that. And I was like, holy doodle.
But, well, that was like when we were going to school. I mean, it might have been the year after when I was in CFCS. But I remember going over the topic of like social work and things like that. And how Indigenous families in communities were like the standards they held didn't match necessarily with how like the community worked. So, yes, a child's home where their parents may live might not have food or adequate food, but they were going to their aunties or their uncles or their grandparents' place mm-hmm. to go and eat all the time. Like that's where they would go and have meals, and they would just basically go home to sleep.
Yeah.
They didn't look at like how the family structures worked.
Yeah.
Which was like a big thing where I think it was obviously Indigenous family support work.
Yeah.
Makes more sense to me. But that's like the outlook where like I vaguely knew because like I obviously had some similar mm-hmm. circumstances. But like it didn't dawn on me that like people would literally be like, that child's neglected, even though like you're like, like yes in some sense, but like also like no, because that's not how the community runs.
Yeah.
It's not how it works. It's not how it's built. So, like, you can't approach it with your colonial views and expect the positive outcomes. Like, take your white savior complex somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. No, it's very interesting how folks come into things with, like, quote-unquote, like, good intentions. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but good intentions for like you,
right?
Really, because you're centering yourself usually in the work more mm-hmm. than the work itself, and you're like, well, that's no good,
right?
That's not how we're supposed to do things, everybody. No, it's definitely interesting. And I had a conversation with my teacher earlier today because I have to write a paper, and I was like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to write about.
Mm-hmm.
Ethical dilemmas. And I was like, I feel like everything's an ethical dilemma. And he's like, there's a few things aren't, you know, like climate change. And he like lists a couple things. I was like, you're right. There's some things that I can't argue the other side for.
Right. You're like, I can't do it. I can find somebody to do it, but I can't do it.
But he poses like really tough questions in class because mm-hmm. most of the folks want to become law enforcement and or lawyers, like split almost right down the middle.
Yeah.
And he's like the first teacher that really pressed people like, well, why are you going into this profession?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, no, like, thank you for doing that, because I feel like people need to be pushed a little bit into that, because like you're working with folks who are made vulnerable by colonialism.
There is like a legitimate question for like when I like anyone who goes into like the early childhood educational field, mm-hmm. you have to literally have someone fill out a form explaining why you're adequate to work at this job.
Yeah.
And you yourself have to give reason why you want to work in this field. And I was like, do the police have to do that? I was like, I have to get so many references because I work with a vulnerable group. But I was like, police work with all groups.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, that's just crazy
mm-hmm.
that people, like, that should just be a normal question that people have to answer.
Yeah. 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 Or even just, like, more, like, throughout the year, too. Because, like, mm-hmm. in the beginning of, like, Icebreaker, it's like, why are you here? And you're like, I'm here because I like justice. Or I don't know.
I like to put bad guys away. All right. Thanks, Timmy.
Yeah. I was just like, I think that's like something they should always be evaluating of us.
Yeah.
You know, like at the end of each semester, because there's four of them, of being like, okay, why are you here? This is me hitting the table, using like, my hands. I think it's really important of like always having that question,
mm-hmm.
like reevaluating, because it's okay to reevaluate things.
Yeah. And like you're the reason why you're getting into something could it like obviously things change and mutate as you go along, mm-hmm. right? So you can't really have you want to have some sort of like a concrete idea of what you're trying to get to, but then like at the same time like you got to accept the fact that like you might learn something and go, I actually don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But you're like, I'd like to do something in this field, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, I also think that's just like a healthy thing to do mm-hmm. the checking in and being like, why are you still here?
Right. I keep passing the classes. Right?
Because they said I'm real good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's been an interesting time.
For sure. I've enjoyed it. Enjoyed joining in on some of the lectures every now and then, or you'd be like, this is the question I have to answer, and I'm like, all right, let me think about this from a different perspective, and yep. I'll yell at you about it.
Yep. Or you also enjoy when all of us are watching TV together.
Oh god.
And I yell, that person has virtue ethics, Captain Holt.
I would like to say enjoy with quotations. Thanks. Just trying to enjoy some Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like just turn my brain off when you're like, no, and I was like, okay.
The show that I was actually learning. I was actually absorbing it. Because at first, I wasn't sure if I was.
And then you're like, I got this. Yeah. But it is interesting to see how that's kind of transformed how you approach things now. It's definitely interesting. Being like, and then me being like, so you're a lawyer, right?
Looking into the room. Oh, my goodness. You, Jessica's mom. Yeah. I'm not actually an attorney.
No.
One day.
Yeah. It's the same thing with me where, like, I would go to my brother's place. Like, I went there for, one of the boys' birthdays. And there was a bunch of parents. Like, he had his friends there that were also, like, parents, right? And kids are all roughly around the same age. And, like, parents were asking me questions about, like, is this normal? What should I do about this? What should I do about that? And I was like, I'm not on the clock right now. Like, but at the same time, I was like, yeah, I mean, you could do this. You should do that. Like, yeah. It's like, you never really can fully turn it off. Like, once you learn something and people know you know about it, they're just going to be all over you. And you're like, okay, cool. I just wanted to sit here and pretend I don't have to take care of this child, but
I know how to make invoices. Like,
yeah, right. I was like, I know how to get all the kids to sit down and color for 5 minutes. All right. Like,
yeah.
Which was an amazing thing for everyone there. Yeah. It was.
Yeah, that's like 5 minutes of silence. Right? So
they're like, how can you get them all to sit like that? And I was like, well, this is actually less than I normally have. So this is easy.
This is me training your child.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's interesting, though, of like looking at traditional ways of child rearing mm-hmm. compared to like now how we treat children.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like talking to them like people.
Yeah. I've like when they're really, really small, I mean, it's hard. It's yeah. hard not to do the mother speak to them because like, oh my God, I just want to squeeze them. Mm-hmm. But like once they get to a certain age and like they can talk to you back, I no longer talk to them like that anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey dude, what's up? Like, and just, and I'm like, Charlie, get down. Like, you're going to hurt yourself. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why we have to, like, baby talk them mm-hmm. when, like, that's not how. Like, it is in the early stages. That's how they learn. But when they get to a certain age, like, that's no longer helpful. That just puts them to feel like they can still act a certain way mm-hmm. for a period of time. Because they're like, well, you still talk to me like I'm a baby. I might as well act like a baby.
That and also about, like talking down to them.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right? So then you're just like,
see the rebel.
You know, like, I have an opinion. You're like, no, you don't. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like things like that. Like always constantly like, in that discipline mode instead mm-hmm. of like a teaching mode.
Yeah.
That I find happens sometimes in parents.
We're supposed to be their guides.
Yeah. Yeah. And also like they're supposed to teach us more.
Oh, yeah. I've learned some amazing things. I've learned that I'm both beautiful and ugly.
Kids are mean, man.
They're so mean sometimes. No, but I've learned some pretty interesting things. Like, I think one of the funniest things one of the kids ever said, but I was like, you know what? You're not wrong. Like, that is an interesting way to look at that, was one of the kids turned around and said, oh, you need to put the food in the worm garbage. And I was like, what is a worm garbage? And they're like, the food bin. And I was like, you mean the compost? And they're like, yeah, worm garbage. And I was like, I love that. And I thought that was just like the most creative thing I've heard from a kid's mouth. And like this kid was like three, and I was like, ugh,
kid knows how compost works.
I was like, yeah. I was like, your brain is beautiful already. Like, let's nurture that.
Yeah. I don't think I knew what compost was when I was three. Wow.
Yeah. One of my favorite kids, well, he's not at the daycare anymore, but he would always tell me stories about Allosaurus, the dinosaur, his friend, and all the things he would do. And he just had, like, this most creative mind, and, like, he was able to make up such intricate stories. And this kid's three. And then, I mean, one day he said that Allosaurus is going to chop off my arms and take them. But I was like, okay. It took a turn.
Dark. All right.
I've had some funny things and some terrifying things said to me from the mouths of three-year-olds. But, like, yeah, it's amazing what you can do if you don't, like, talk down to kids and if you let them just, like, express themselves. Obviously, you obviously still need to, like, place boundaries and things because, like, they're still people and they don't, or they're not fully people yet, so they don't fully understand. But at the same time, you don't want to, like, too many boundaries is, like, you're building a barrier and then they're not able to grow the way that they should. But we need to look at them as we used to, like they're gifts and they're the ones that are going to be our next generation. So they need to have the space to be able to grow and develop as they should in order to be the next knowledge keepers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, kids are super interesting. They're a little weird.
They're so weird.
Sometimes so a little weird. Sticky, and you're like, please don't touch me.
No, I always tell them not to touch me. I'm like, why are your hands wet?
Yeah.
You were not in the bathroom. Why is this toy wet? I don't even want to know. And then my hair gets sticky, and I don't know why it was sticky. It was, no.
No.
But, yeah. But they're always, like, they're the sweetest things, too, though.
Mm-hmm. Just so, like, candid.
Oh my god, yeah.
Right? You're like, that's what that is. And you're like, you're right. Like, just straight to the point. Yeah. I love that.
Yep. I mean, we're still working on the filter. Yeah. We need to learn what's appropriate, what's not appropriate
for school.
Yeah. But, sometimes it just, like, takes you off guard and then you start laughing and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have laughed at that. Yeah. But, yeah. Keeps you young.
Yeah.
Keeps you hopeful.
Yeah, I think so.
Then there's some kids that are like, you're a little jerk.
Why are you such a jerk?
But you're not supposed to call toddlers jerks.
No. Those are inside thoughts.
Yep, inside thoughts that sometimes are outside thoughts when you leave the building. But yeah.
I love my job.
Yeah. Yep. But so I'm really... I'm happy that in both our fields that Indigenous views and ideologies and ways of being and knowing are becoming more prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really healthy for, our communities. It's healthy for the world overall that we're starting to be able to get back to the way that we were before, which was a lot healthier and stable, more stable for
everybody.
It's more sustainable.
I was telling my teacher that today of, like, yes, colonialism has done mad damage, crazy damage to the planet, to the way we relate to each other as people, just everything. However, it hasn't been that long. It's only been 153 years of colonialism. Right, but our nations, our communities have been around much, much longer than 153 years, right? So I'm like, I don't feel like it's too late.
No.
It's not. So I think it's, like, gotta put in a lot of elbow grease and, you know, have to allow patience, all that, things like that. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't feel like there's a point of no return quite yet.
Yeah. In my opinion, I know things are never going to be the exact same.
No.
We have lost a lot, but the core of what we had is still here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we need to build off of.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Again, I agree with you. Like, it's still salvageable. We can still turn things around.
Yeah.
It's obviously going to look a little different. It kind of has to.
Yeah.
Just because, like, we have to be able to... as much as some people may not agree with this, we still have to share the space. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, this is a lot of people's homes now too, right?
Yeah.
This is their communities as well now. So, like, we can't just be like, okay, bye. Just, like, wave everybody off.
I mean,
like,
right. There's no boats in the harbor. Right? We're like, okay.
Go back home. Like, yeah. It's not a thing. And not only that, but then there's a lot of us that, like, we're mixed heritage. So, like, we can't be like, all right, so my left leg's going to go back here. My right's going to go over there, and I'll see the rest of you. Like, it's just, mm-hmm. It's not, you can't separate ourselves like that. So we have to find a way to be able to be cohesive in the sense of, like, everyone can feel, I mean, just safe in general.
Yeah.
That, I guess that's what I want to get to, is everyone feels safe and that they are valued.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, like, it could be really exciting of, like, okay, what can our new relationship look like? Right? Just, like, going back to the thing of, like, it's okay to reevaluate. It's okay to reevaluate our relationships to one another, too.
Make some new wampum belts.
Right? Like, it could be a very interesting time.
Yeah.
Of, like, rediscovering who we want to be,
yeah,
right, as individuals and as communities and things like that. And I don't know, like, I'm usually, like, a really realistic person and not very, a little pessimistic sometimes. I know that's fine.
The class is half full, but we don't know with what.
Exactly. But no, like, this, it makes me excited and it makes me opportunistic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We're not done yet.
No. No. We still got things to do.
Yeah. Right? There's still things to learn.
Right? I think we'll never stop learning. We'll learn things every day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hello. Yes.
This is the most informal episode of our podcast in the whole wide world.
Most informal.
I'm not even going to edit it. Like,
I should have put my phone on silent. It was just Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Replying to one of our Insta stories.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Lynn. Yeah. No, because, like, I mean, we have Education Sundays.
Yes.
We love to learn. So I hope this isn't it.
Like, yeah.
I hope we get to keep on learning. Like, science keeps evolving and growing. I mean, electronics. I mean, sometimes I'm worried about the electronics, but it's a different story.
AI is horrifying.
Yeah.
But on, like, that note of science, though, like, Ari was talking to Jessica and what different things she was learning from work. And, like, one thing that was really exciting is, like, how do we teach science from an Indigenous worldview?
Yeah. Right?
And I was like, that sounds so cool. Like, growing up, I was like, science is silly.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, I really enjoyed experiments. But other than that, I was like, I can't spell hypothesis.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I can't even spell it, so I'm going to learn it.
Exactly.
Like, on that note, I think, like, the one, or, like, just going off of that,
yeah.
I think the one thing that, like, made me go, I love this, was reading, I'm going to ruin her name, but Robin Kilmer?
Okay.
I don't think I'm saying it right. But anyways, Braiding Sweetgrass,
mm-hmm.
like, legitimately was, like, the merging of almost two.
Yeah.
So, like, she's a botanist,
mm-hmm.
I think is the right term. But, like, just, like, seeing it from, like, a scientific point of view, but then also learning about the Indigenous aspect of it as well. Like, that's how I learned about, like, the, like, controlled burns and things like that. And,
yeah.
And, that, like, like, certain things you're supposed to grow together because they protect each other and they feed off of each other. And then, like, corn and, like, beans and squash.
Yes.
The trio and how that all works. It was just, like, fascinating to learn, like, these are things that, like, are Indigenous knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, like, the science backs it up.
Yep.
Not that we need the science to back it up, but, like, it's, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but it's just, I love that. And I want more of that.
Me too. And it's like, where was that when we were in school?
Yeah, I know.
You know, like, that would have been a little bit more interesting to me. I do remember learning about, like, this is this part of the plant and it does that. And I was like,
what, the piston or whatever?
Yeah. That's all I remember. And I was like, the bees like this. And that's really right. About it. And I was like, would have been cooler to learn of, like, the medicinal properties of different plants, mm-hmm. or just like mm-hmm. where they can grow, where they can't grow, and why. You know, just like stuff like that. Instead of like having to learn like the Latin name of a plant.
Right? Just learning what the cell of a plant looks like compared to the cell of an organism. And you're like, yeah. cool. But also the mitochondria is the power of the cell.
Absolutely. And that's all I have for science in my brain.
Right. Oh
my God. Yeah. I did love science to a point. But only because like you got to learn about things like you're like you can't see, which blows my mind, like, but
like lava.
Oh, lava. Is it wet?
Is it wet or is it dry?
Oh my goodness,
Caitlin,
ongoing conversation in my cohort when there's like dead silence in the class. Someone will always pose this question of is lava wet, and the whole class just goes off on different debates.
Put your hand in it, let's try it out. Put your hand in it. Let me know what you feel. Oh, nothing. Got it.
Because you don't have, yeah.
Because your hand is gone.
Yeah. What blows my mind is, like, we can't fully, like, get there because it's so hot.
Right? I just think that's crazy.
Yeah. Me too.
Things are crazy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the volcanoes that are under the sea.
That scares me. Yeah.
And there's creatures that live in it.
Yep.
And you're like, is this Pacific Rim? What's happening?
Yeah, actually.
Aliens.
Yeah. Always.
Back to the aliens. You ever get a tattoo and one of the first things...
All of us in the house have gotten tattoos recently. Like, yeah. Within like a month or 3 weeks of each other.
Yeah.
I was the first one. I went and I reclaimed my traditional thigh tattoos. And it was super beautiful and super painful, but I loved them more than anything. And then next was Jessica. And Jessica got some really pretty flowers. And then it was teacher Madeline.
Yeah, I got the petroglyph for woman, in my language. And it was super funny. Well, I was going in to get another tattoo, but anyways, like, it didn't work out. But I got this one because, like, that was the next thing on my list to get. And I love it. But it was so funny because, like, the gentleman who was tattooing me was like, oh, like, what does the symbol mean? And I told him. And he's like, oh, it kind of looks like, at the top there, it kind of looks like the Om symbol and stuff like that. And he was like, it's kind of interesting how, like, a lot of these symbols all, like, have some connection to each other. And then he's like, you know... he's like, I really think the aliens were here. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, what is happening right now? And he's like, you know, he's like, you ever think about the pyramids? And I was like, let me tell you. Yes, I do think about the pyramids.
Like, this is only going to be a 30-minute right? tattoo, right?
I was like, we're only hanging out for a little bit. I was like, you're just going to stick a needle in my arm, it's fine. Let's do this. Yeah. So it was beautiful. And I just think, like, I think it's interesting that the things that bring people together.
Yes.
The things that people bond over. Aliens, always a hot topic.
Yes.
It's always a bringer of things. Either that or, like, it's a hot debate in the family. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah. You're either for it or against it.
Yeah. But, no, it's been
a slice.
Yeah.
All right, so it is Counselor Kate's turn to... give us some fun facts.
Yes, it is. And circling back to the science portion of our conversation we had this evening. So, Kate bought a book. Kate bought a lot of books, specifically from the North. And one of them is a plant book from Nunavut, which I thought was pretty exciting. And so I'm going to tell you all about the traditional use of the mountain cranberry. In the past, the Inupiaq people would collect the berries in great quantities. They would be eaten mixed in with meat, fish, fats, eggs, or blubber. Cranberry juice was good for kidney problems, and you can make a tea from it with the leaves that is good for a cough. Traditionally, the Inupiaq people used to keep the berries over winter by storing them in long, shallow birch bark baskets with tight lids in the underground pit or in a tree.
Ooh.
Isn't that cool?
That is so cool.
Yeah. Who knew that, you know, cranberries can grow all the way in the Arctic.
I mean, they are some pretty sturdy, it's a pretty sturdy plant.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's really good for you. Mm-hmm. It makes me happy.
Cranberry Kate.
Cranberry Kate, that's me.
Mm-hmm. That is you. I mean, who doesn't love cranberries?
Yeah, they're really good for you.
So. They are.
Yeah, so I think we're going to end it there today, or else we're just going to keep rambling. Yeah, so just a reminder, we would love for you guys to donate to Vaidea's Global Solidarity Challenge. You can either show your love to either myself, Teacher Mads, or Kate, or I mean...
Or there's an overall fund as a whole.
Yeah, so like, if you don't want to choose sides.
But you do want to choose sides.
Do they? Yes. Do they really want
to? They do. Oh,
all right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sure.
And a reminder to, we'll post the links to all of the fundraising pages. And if you donate, you can A, tell us a topic you want us to talk about. Mm-hmm. B, be a guest on our show. Welcome to our home.
Welcome to our home.
C, we make a haiku about you and do a shout out on the show. And those are some... top tier prizes.
Those are top tier prizes,
everybody. So
it's not often we invite random people into our home. I mean, it might not be a random person. You could be someone that's here before
that we know.
Yeah,
but yeah, you could be our first guest if you donate to the GSC.
Yeah, so exciting. Mm-hmm. But also don't forget to follow us on Instagram. That is where we usually give our updates about when we're going to be posting next.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us on most podcast platforms.
It's been a great time, and see you later.
Namaltis.